We almost can say Happy Purim. And since we're so close to Purim, we can wish you already Happy Purim. And we don't have much time to learn before Arvit. And I think instead of learning from the book, we'll just learn straight out. I hope you noticed that we just now read the Haftarah. Was all the psukim that we were learning in the last couple of days in the Zohar. I really hope you paid attention, because unbelievably we see a connection here. Also, the Kriyat Torah, the reading of the Torah that we did now on the fast day, is the parasha where we're holding on, and that doesn't always fall like that. In the parashat Ki Tisa, usually we have to roll the book a little bit when we're having a fast day. But today happened to be that the fast day falls on the same parasha, Ki Tisa. We didn't even have to roll the Torah. And I told you before we started that my daughter asked me in the morning, why do we fast? Something happened 2,000 years ago, so what? And many things happened 2,000 years ago, and we don't fast. Why specifically this fast? So there's one simple explanation, that because they fasted at the time to annul the decree. They fasted 3 days, not 1 day. So we're kind of in a repetitive way also fasting. But the best way to look at the fast is that we're fasting in order to aim for something in the future, not for something in the past. Looking at the past is good. That's how we do tshuva. But looking at the future is a more deeper part of our tshuva. Most people refer to tshuva as that I look at what I did in the past and I have to fix it. But the real tshuva is looking to the future, how I'm changing something. If you don't change something in the future, then your past, your tshuva on your past is worthless, because you didn't change something. The whole point of tshuva is to change. In a very amazing Hashgacha Pratit, that the Parashat HaShavua falls exactly right on Purim, and we experience the sin of the golden calf, which raises a lot of questions. How can, after seeing God with their own eyes, they sin in a golden calf? How, after seeing Moshe Rabbeinu being their leader, they sin with a golden calf? That up until today, this is one of the sins that up until today we have to pay for. And we just now did Machatzit HaShekel. I forgot to mention it before. That's another reason why we're doing Machatzit HaShekel, to atone for the golden calf. So there's many different explanations why specifically such a sin could have happened. We gave a very deep explanation in the beginning of the week. We talked about it, but quickly to just to explain what happened there so we can know for the future. They get the Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu goes up on the mountain because they got the Ten Commandments. They just got the intro, the just a little bit of it. Moshe Rabbeinu says, okay, now I have to go and see what the Torah is about. It says in the Torah many things. I don't know what they are. It says in the Torah I have to put tefillin on. I don't know what tefillin is. It doesn't say even the word tefillin in the Torah. It just says, Ot al yadecha, sign on your hand. It says that we have to eat a kosher animal. I don't know how you slaughter an animal. I don't know how you write a Megillah. I don't know, a parchment, a mezuzah, whatever it is. Moshe Rabbeinu packs his bags. He tells them, I'll see you in 40 days. And he goes up to the mountain. He waves goodbye. Everybody waves goodbye to him too. They give him a shliach mitzvah. They give him a few dollars. And he goes up on the mountain and he disappears. And just for the record, they didn't give him anything. This is my addition to bring some smiles to our faces. Moshe Rabbeinu goes up on the mountain. He tells them, I'm back in 40 days. And long story short, 40 days pass. We went up to the mountain exactly in Chatzot Hayom, in the middle of the day, which is approximately about noon. And it comes noon 40 days later, which was Tetzayin B'Tammuz. And they're waiting. And nobody's coming. An hour passed, 2 hour passed, 3 hour passed. They're looking up and down. What's going on? He's not coming. Right away, the Erev Rav, the mixture of the evil people that came out of Mitzrayim, that happens to be that they were the sorcerers of Moshe Rabbeinu. The ones that came out of Mitzrayim are the Chartumim, that we read in the parasha that the Chartumim would copy what Moshe Rabbeinu did. I don't know if to call them sorcerers or witchcraft or stargazers. Nevertheless, these are the guys that came out. And then right away, they were like, okay, Moshe's not coming, let's make a new god. And they volunteered for the job. Listen, we know how to make gods. That's what we did in Mitzrayim. Let's do it. Okay. Now there are two men that were left in charge at the time. One of them was Aaron HaKohen, and the other one was Hur. Hur is the son of Miriam. They come to Hur, tell him, listen, we want to make a new god. He tells them, no chance. Right away, mafia, bullet in the head. They kill him on the spot. They go to Aaron, tells him, listen, we want to make a new god. He tells them, listen, Aaron was a little bit smarter, and he came up with the slogan, if you can't beat them, join them. So he tells them, okay, well, listen, we're very tired today. It was a lot of commotion. We got prepared for the big auspicious moment that Moshe's coming. Let's rest. Let's rest till tomorrow. And tomorrow, first thing in the morning, we start. Okay, they fall for that. And he buys a few more hours. Comes the morning, now what? He tells them, listen, go to your wives, get their jewelry. Because if we're already making a god, it has to be done with rubies and diamonds and golds and silver. Go to your wife and get all the jewelry. And they fall for that too. They go. Aaron was thinking that they're not going to fall for that, that the women are going to say, no, we're not giving you anything. But sure enough, their women gave them jewelry. Now, this is the women of the Erev Rav, not the Jewish women that refused to give jewelry. Okay, they come. Now he doesn't know what to do. So Aaron says, okay, we know how we send him. We'll be what will be. He takes all this jewelry, everything that he got, and he throws it into the fire. And out comes a calf. A golden calf. The story says that when Moshe Rabbeinu was walking around in the streets of Egypt before the redemption, there was many bad things that happened. One of them, that the Egyptians were so evil that if the people, that their job, it was called like the brick squad, there was a group of people that they had to create the bricks. If you remember in the Parashat Vayera, that it was started actually in Parashat Shemot, that Paro said, okay, you're complaining, now I'm going to also make you get your own straw. But there was a certain group that they had to make stones, the bricks. And if they missed a certain quota per day, then the Egyptians would take babies and put the babies in the wall instead of bricks. Okay, Moshe one time walks in the streets and he sees a baby stuck in the wall. Dying. He turns to Hashem and says, what is this? What is this thing? So Hashem tells him, listen, gives him a very harsh answer, and he tells him, these babies are people who are going to grow and to go against me. So they're getting already their punishment. We're saving them from even falling into a sin. Which is a very harsh answer. I'm going to punish you before you even started because you bow to do a very severe sin. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't like this, and he pulled this baby out of the wall. This baby's name was Micha. Years later, when it was time to go out of Mitzrayim, Moshe Rabbeinu had to bring the coffin of Yosef. He didn't know where the coffin is. Came Serach, and she told him, listen, they dropped it right over there in the ocean. Moshe Rabbeinu took a little piece of gold, and he wrote on it, Ale Shor. Rise, ox, because Yosef was known as to be the ox. If you remember, when Yaakov was rebuking the tribes, he compared each one of them to an animal, and Yosef was an ox. Moshe Rabbeinu wrote in a combination of holy letters. He wrote on this piece of gold, "Ale Shor, rise up, ox," and he threw it into the water. And what do you know? Whoop! The coffin comes up. Now Moshe was so excited and was involved in what's going on. He didn't even notice that this piece of gold came up with the coffin. This little boy, Micha, took this piece of gold. Now, when they threw everything into the fire, then this piece of gold went into the fire with it. Since it was already like holy names, and it said a clear commandment, Ale Shor, come out ox, then it was kind of what we called Kabbalah Ma'asit, taking practical Kabbalah, what Yashka Yimach Shemo used to do. He used to know Kabbalah Ma'asit. Yeah, Yashka, how do you think he walked on the water? He wrote Hashem's names on his feet. And whoop, he rises above the ground instead of walking. So this bullion, this gold bullion, were thrown into the fire too, and out comes a calf. And this is this, Ale Shor. The Shor couldn't come out because the Shor, the ox, was Yosef. So came the son, came a little calf, a golden calf. Now the story is, of course, much longer. And the point is, what we want to take from that is that why was this whole scene? There's a very straightforward and harsh Gemara in Masechet Yuma that says this was Hashem's plan. It was a plot. It was a conspiracy. The Gemara says, Nora alila al bnei adam. Kadosh Baruch Hu said, I'm going to trick you. I'm going to make you sin. Why? Why do such a thing? Shem says, because you were in the level of tzaddikim when you got the Torah. I want you in the level of a Baal Tshuva. The Talmud says, "Bemakom shebaalei tshuva amdim tzaddikim gmurim enam yecholim lamod." We're a place where a Baal Tshuva stands, a complete tzaddik can't stand there. Shem says, I want you to be a Baal Tshuva. I don't want you to be a tzaddik. Tzaddik doesn't have a urge to do anything bad. The tzaddik doesn't have the struggle. The tzaddik doesn't have the fight. I want you to be in a much higher level. Now, how can I make you a Baal Tshuva? I have to make you sin. So this was all plots from Hashem that we will sin only for us to be a Baal Tshuva. Fast forward hundreds of years, and we continue sinning. And the Beit HaMikdash gets destroyed, and we get kicked out of Yerushalayim, and we find ourselves in Iran, in Persia. But nevertheless, throughout the years, everybody got spread around till the decree of Haman. Haman wanted to destroy us. Now, Haman, if you're looking at all the tyrants in the history, was probably the worst of all. Because Paro didn't want to just kill us right away. He wanted to slave us. And he only wanted to kill the men. Hitler, yimach shemo, wanted to do it in a system. He had a whole system laid out, the final solution. We're going to gas them, we're going to do this. Haman says, one day let's just cut them out in one shot. So technically, one can say Haman was the mean and the ruthless of all. And how did he plan on doing it? That in 127 countries, the civilians, the citizens, will uprise against the Jews. That if there's Jews in Shushan, then the people in Shushan will kill the Jews in Shushan. You're living in, I don't know where, Venezia. Then that's where the citizens are going to uprise and kill. Now, needless to say, the story is famous. Esther was in the palace. Mordechai came and convinced her. She made a party. You know, the whole story, we're going to read that in about 10 minutes. We're going to find out the whole story. But the miracle was that the Kadosh Baruch Hu saved us from being extinct. And of course, there was Esther, Mickey Esther. She's half Esther, half Mickey. Minnie, Mickey, same one, no? Same family. So you have Minnie and Mickey. You're Mickey? Minnie. Okay. She chooses to remain silent. So, they fast for 3 days. They do tshuva, and they get out of their problem. Now we're asking, why do we fast after 2,000 years? And why? What is it going to do with us? There were many, many other miracles in our history. So first of all, and most important, when we fast, we're not commemorating something in the past. We're looking in the future. And we're looking at, what do I need to change that I messed up? Look back at our past. We have two holy temples that got destroyed. The first one got destroyed because of three sins: idol worship, forbidden relations, and bloodshed. Since the sin was revealed, then the length of the exile was revealed. When I'm saying the sin was revealed, idol worship, if I'm bowing to an idol, you see it. If I kill somebody, you see it. If I have forbidden relations, you see it. It's an obvious sin. So the prophet Yirmiyahu says you're going to be in exile for 70 years. Since the sin was revealed, the length of the exile will be revealed. We obviously didn't learn our lesson because we went back to Yerushalayim. Again, the Beit HaMikdash was standing for 420 years. And then again it got destroyed. This time it got destroyed from one sin, Sinat Chinam. From hating another person for no reason. And since the sin is not revealed, then the length of the exile is not revealed. So when I can pretend to a person and pretend that I like him and pretend that everything is fine, but if I can hate that person in my heart and still smile, how are you? Oh, you look amazing. Thank you so much. But in my heart, I hate you. This is Sinat Chinam. For no reason. Now, even if I have a reason, that's not a reason. Because we know that everything comes from the Kadosh Baruch Hu, and nothing should be a reason for me to hate any other person. If so-and-so did something bad to me, he's just the messenger of the Kadosh Baruch Hu. He didn't do anything. He was chosen to be the messenger that has to do what he was supposed to do. I can't carry hate to anyone. But when I'm now sitting here 2,000 years later and I'm fasting and I'm trying to think, what am I fasting about? Because something happened 2,000 years ago. You know how many miracles happened in the past? You know that when Yeshua ben Nun had a war, one of the wars, then they were about to lose the war. There was a miracle that the sun froze in the sky. The sun stopped. It didn't move, so they have more hours to win the war. It's a pretty big miracle. We don't fast, we don't eat, we don't do anything on that day. There are many other miracles. But why specifically that? This holiday is coming to remind us, first of all, who we are. We are the nation of Israel. We're Am Israel. We're the children of Yaakov. And you know, we just got the Torah a few weeks ago, we read it. And right after we got the Torah, it says a very clear commandment that we have to do. V'ayitem li mamlechet kohanim v'goy kadosh. You have to be for me a nation of priests and a holy goy. Goy, people think it's a derogatory word when you're saying goy, goy, goy. Goy is a body. The name, the word goy, the translation is body. That's what it is. I already mentioned already that Adam HaRishon was the first soul, and all the souls of all the people in the world are part of the soul of Adam HaRishon. Now, how are we called? We are called Israel. Take the letters Israel, switch the order, and you can read it as Li, Rosh. Rosh is the head, Li is for me. The head of Adam HaRishon, that's the souls from Adam HaRishon. That's the souls of the nation of the Jews. And Goy is a body. In Hebrew you say body, Gviya. Gviya is a body. So Goy is a body. All the souls of all the nations, they come from the body of Adam HaRishon. So the word Goy is not a derogatory word. I know a lot of people say, oh, don't say the word, it's not nice. The Gentile will get upset. Gentile, that's not a derogatory word. We are also called a Goy, by the way. Look at our tefillin. It says Goy Kadosh. We're just a separated Goy. Kadosh doesn't mean holy. Kadosh means separated. Hashem says, I'll separate you. V'hivdilanu mikol ha'amim. He separated us. He says, you are going to have 613 mitzvot to do. Then our sages added another seven. Tonight we're going to have the zchut to perform one of them. Kriyat Megillah is one of the seven rabbinical laws. And the nations are going to have their mitzvot. Specifically, are categorized in seven titles, which are more like 70 mitzvot. Our job is to inspire the world. Our job is to give an example to the world. Our job is to shine to the world. You know, when the first Beit HaMikdash was built by Shlomo HaMelech, there was peace around the world. He was called Shlomo from the word Shalom, peace. Nations used to bring their sacrifices to the Holy Temple. So we can look at ourselves now on a day of fast when we have to repent and we have to look forward. I have to understand where as a nation we messed up. And as a nation, we messed up that for the last 3,400 years, we were holding the Torah to ourselves without sharing it with the world. And the Torah wasn't given to us to keep. It was given to us to learn, teach, and then inspire. We have to shine to the world. When we're holding the Torah and we're not shining into the world, we're not showing the world who we're supposed to be, we're not behaving like how we're supposed to be, why would the world even look at us? Why would the world want to follow us and support us? When Mashiach is going to come, we are going to be the ones holding the flag. We are the ones who are going to be holding the crown. And we're failing miserably as a nation. So when I'm looking back, why am I fasting? Don't look back, look forward. You have to look forward. What do I need to change in my life? First of all, in my personal life. We just gave Machatzita Shekel. This one of the many things that the Machatzita Shekel does, they used to do it to kofer nefesh, to atone for the nefesh, for the sin. So remind me, listen, you messed up in the past, do tshuva. And the tshuva is to look at the past, repent, but kabbalah latid. What am I doing for the future? I have to look to the future and learn from my mistakes how I can change the future. If I don't do that, then my tshuva is worthless. My tshuva is totally meaningless if I don't take a change. If I do tshuva and I say, I'm so sorry about the that I did that. But I don't change that. What's the tshuva here? I spoke about it in the beginning of the week, that there's a difference between Baal tshuva and Chozer b'tshuva. When the Talmud says, במקום שבעלי תשובה עומדים, צדיקים גמורים אינם יכולים לעמוד, it says בעלי תשובה, an owner of the תשובה. We're not בעלי תשובה, we're חוזרים בתשובה. חוזר is somebody that returns, בעל is somebody that owns. We're not בעלי תשובה, maybe the last day of our life we can be called בעל תשובה. When I own my תשובה. I'm a חוזר בתשובה, because you know, today I do a sin, tomorrow I'll repent, next week I'll do the sin again, a month later I will repent, I'll do tshuva, then a month later I'll do the sin again. I'm yo-yo, backwards and forth. This is called חוזר בתשובה. It doesn't mean that I'm a loser. It means that I still have to work on my tshuva till I get it right. And the main part of the tshuva is to change in the future. Not to look to the past. I need to look to the past to know what was my mistake. So when we're standing in such a day that I'm looking at the past, they were exiled. They were exiled because of idol worship. We also have idol worship, by the way. We idol many things. And not the, what they call it, there's a show now. How do you call it? Something idol, American Idol. It's not what I'm talking about. We idolize our car, our phone, our house, our bank account, our clothes. There's many, many things where we fail in idol worship. Idol worship in Hebrew is called Avodah Zarah. It doesn't mean that you bow on the floor. Avodah Zarah means a foreign labor. Something that is foreign to me as a Jew. Then of course, there was another sin, which is bloodshed. Bloodshed, I mean, we're not killing people with our hands. But you know how we kill people? With our mouth. And this is even a more lethal way to kill a person, with your mouth. And of course, forbidden relations, whether we agree with it or not. I know it's a little bit of a sensitive topic and embarrassing, and people don't like talking about it. Yeah, we also fail with that, left and right, even in your mind. Even in your mind, when you things are going on in your mind, that's also a level of a sin. And the top, to top it all, is sinat chinam. So we have to look at our past and make a decision to the future. And Hashem gave us the power to be a light to the world. Not only to the nations, to everyone. I have to be an inspiration to the world. I have to inspire people. And if I see that somebody's doing something wrong, it's very easy to go like this. Look at him. It's much harder to say, how can I help him? How can I inspire that person not to do that? And the way to do it is, first of all, is you give example. You don't come and hit somebody on the head and start rebuking. To rebuke, you need to know how to rebuke. You know, the professional in rebuking was Aaron HaKohen, because he did it with love. He didn't do it with ego, and he didn't do it with, I'm better than you. He did it because he cared, and he did it with love. But what I want to take from that, it's very easy to look at another person and see their fault. And you know why I see their fault? Because I have that fault. The Baal Shem Tov says very clearly, if you see in somebody else a fault, then it means you're recognizing your own fault. And it might not be the exact same thing, but in a very refined way, I have it too. So instead of me pointing a finger, it's been like, okay, if that person is doing this action, how can I come now and inspire that person not to do that action? By giving an example, by showing, by talking, by loving, by caring, by making space for another person. And what I want to take, when I want to, you know, today I told somebody in the morning, have an easy fast. So he told me, easy it's not going to be, but at least hopefully it will be meaningful. And a lot of people, they're wishing each other, have a meaningful fast. Now what do you want to take from this fast? It's finished exactly in a few minutes. The meaning is that I have to understand, we are now, maybe in Israel, but in the same status of Shushan. There's a Haman about 1600 kilometers away from here that wants to destroy us. There's a Hashverosh. There's nothing changed. Nothing changed. There's a Haman in every generation, and there's also a Haman in our generation. And we need to get our act together, because we don't have a Mordechai and we don't have a Esther. It's up to us. It's up to us what we do to make sure that we are not going to be under the target of Haman. And we have to look at our past. What did our forefathers, I'm not talking about Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, I'm talking about my father, my grandfather, my grandfather, where did they fail? What can I change? If I don't do anything, then nothing helped. Then there's no point of doing all the commemorating, the fasting, all that. I need to take a stand and say, what can I change in me? First of all, the change has to be in me. Doesn't mean I'm going to be now the next Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. I'm going to continue failing till the last day of my life. Because that's the Kadosh Baruch Hu's agenda. He wants me to fail. Sheva Yipol Tzadik Vakam. I will fall so I can get up. Fall again so I can get up. To say, okay, nothing happened. Because every time I fall on a diamond and I have to elevate it up. And the reason why I fall is for Hashem to make me, to put me in a position of saying, you're not that great yourself. Don't look at other people and tell them, look how bad they are. You're also not that great. You might not fail in that department, but you fail in this department. It's to put our ego under control. Because if I wouldn't fail at all, I will become like, oh, look at me, I'm already a tzaddik and a half. So Hashem says, no, you're not. You're far away from being a tzaddik. Keep your ego under the table and don't look above people. So we want this fast to be meaningful by looking to the future, not to look at the past, and to say, what can I do to change the future? My own future, my family's future, my nation's future, and the world's future. And don't think for one second we're not equivalent exactly to the time of Haman. We are exactly. Just that instead of, you know, Haman, we're going to read it now, Bezrat Hashem, in 10 minutes, they came out with kruzim. They had flyers, big flyers. They hung on the wall. We're going to kill the Jews. So we have WhatsApp, and we have Facebook, and we have all the rest of the junk. And the same words are out in the world, just not in a flyer. So we have to take a stand here, and we have to understand that it depending on us, that my actions can change the world. So when I'm concluding a fast and going into the holiday of Purim. Purim is the only holiday that will remain after the Geulah. Our sages say, kol hachagim mitbatlim, all the holidays will get annulled. Purim and Hanukkah will be the only one, but Purim will be the only holiday that we're actually going to continue celebrating. And even more than that, it says that the only book that will not be outdated would be Megillat Esther. Because then just imagine, all the prophecies will not be prophecies anymore. They'll be history. Megillat Esther will be the only book that we're still going to be learning from. And the most hidden gems of the Torah are specifically in Megillat Esther. That's why it's called Esther. It's concealed. The bottom line, I want to not only look at the past, constantly have to look forward. The Kadosh Baruch Hu created our face in a very sophisticated way, and He put the eyes in the front of the head so I can look forward. If you want me to look back, you would put the eyes in the back of the head. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, I want you to look forward. And the looking forward is to say, where did I mess up so I can change it? And it depends on us. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai says, we don't need the entire nation to change the world. We need a knishta chada, one group that is powerful, that they're practicing the Torah be'emet. We say every day, three times a day, Karov Hashem lechol korav, lechol asher ikru be'emet. Hashem is close to the ones who call Him. Now you can explain the word be'emet in two ways. Be'emet, first of all, the translation is really, really call Him. But it's more precise to say the ones who call Hashem be'in emet. It's all about emet. It's all about being truthful. Just emet. Another explanation, this is explained by Baal HaSulam, Rabbi Ashlag, that he says that l'chol ha'shekru ve'emet is the ones who only seek truth. They're looking at the truth in things. They're not looking at the sheker in things. Most of us looking at the sheker in things. I see a beautiful cookie on the table. I would try to look, okay, why should I have this? It's sheker, it's full of sugar and flour and it's junk. It's not food. We talked about it the other day, about Mishloach Manot. I should remind you now, it's important. Mishloach Manot it has to be edible food. You know, now I see the Mishloach Manot my kids are getting, bisli, bamba, shmamba, all this junk. This is not food. This is a safek if it's a Mishloach Manot, because it has to be edible food. So, bisli full of MSG, it's not edible. It's junk. And all the gummies and shmamis and all that, this is not food. So a Mishloach Manot has to be two pieces of edible food, and it has to be prepared. You can't bring like something raw. But nevertheless, we need to look at our past, we need to see the vision of our future, and we need to understand that we are the lucky ones that are going to see the Geulah. We are the ones who can change the future. And on this auspicious day, we read the Torah today twice. We said Slichot. So look how many things to just elevate ourselves. We fast not to torture ourselves, so I can be elevated from this world, so I can see the emet in everything. And it says, "Bakesh shalom veradfeu." Pursue, look for peace, and go after it. And the shalom is emet. It's all about emet. Bezal Hashem, we should be merit to be the ones who merit to see the Geula, the redemption, with our own eyes. When we're going to go out of this exile, what we saw in Mitzrayim is nothing. Mezrat Hashem, we should be the ones. But each and every one of us has to understand that we are an MVP, a very valuable player. I think this term comes from the American Basketball League, right? Am I right? MVP, most valuable player. We are most valuable players. My tefillot, my tzedakah, my Torah, everything that I do is valuable. Don't ever think for one second, what is my appearance in the minyan? What does it make a difference? It's other people in the minyan. I can stand and sleep till 11 o'clock. By me following the Torah, by me giving an example, by me not putting somebody else down so I can look a little bit higher, whatever it is. The point is that we have to take this seriously, and that's why the fast is coming to remind us that. We can't afford another golden calf. And there's too many golden calves in our generations, in our this generation. And we have too much of the Erev Rav in our generation that are stirring things around. Zohar says very clearly, before the Geula, the Erev Rav is going to be so powerful, they're going to have beautiful peot, and beautiful shtraimels, and beautiful jackets, and they're going to know the Torah better than me, or you, and all of us together. But we have to seek for the truth. The kol asher ikru be'emet. I have to look at the truth in everything. And when I detect something is not the truth, that's my sign for me to, okay, this is not something I need to be included in. Bezal Hashem, we should merit to see with our own eyes our redemption. You know, the story of Purim, 3 years later, they came back to Eretz Israel. They built the Beit HaMikdash. So Bezal Hashem, this holiday should serve to us as a merit. That we should the wish that we ask every day, v'techezena enenu b'shuvcha l'tzion v'rachamim, that the return of the Shechina to Tzion should be b'rachamim, should be in mercy. Bezrat Hashem, we should merit to go up to Beit HaMikdash in a month to give Korban Pesach, and it all depends on us. So Bezrat Hashem, we should grow higher and higher. We should always look forward. We should always be an inspiration to the world and to the universe. We should be an example to our family, to our congregants, to our fellow Jews, and for the rest of the world. Bezal Hashem, we should have a beautiful, happy Pesach Purim, and we should experience ultimate, the real Simcha Shebalev, and that should be eternal. And of course, that will only happen very soon when Mashiach comes. Amen. Happy Purim, everybody. Amen.